What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Now on the line, our MLB insider for The Athletic, Keith Law, joining us now on the River Islands guest line. Keith, good morning. It's Joe Spadoni alongside Joe Shasky here, and we'll bring you right into this conversation in regards to Rafael Devers. And obviously, it's the talk of the town, one of the biggest in-season trades for this franchise in quite some time, and in baseball, quite frankly. So I just want to ask you point blank, what did you make of the trade, and what would you grade it if you had to give a grade from the Red Sox perspective and from the Giants perspective?
I was pretty shocked when the trade went down. We just don't see trades like this in June. We don't see trades like this in season much at all, but we almost never see them outside of the trade deadline, which is still 6 or 7 weeks away at this point. I was out to dinner for Father's Day and came out and saw it on my phone and thought it was a joke. Actually, had never heard any information the Red Sox might even be open to trading Rafael Devers. And the Red Sox are supposedly trying to contend this year. Why would you trade one of your best position players, one of your most consistent hitters, your best on base guy, in the middle of a campaign where you are trying at least to get into playoff position? I like the trade a lot for the Giants. I don't think it was terrible for the Red Sox. You don't understand it. I thought their return was a little light, not awful. This wasn't just a dump trade for them. But again, if you're trying to contend, you don't trade a Rafael Devers. You go out and acquire one.
Where does he slot right now into the San Francisco Giants lineup? Whether that be defensively, offensively, within the fabric of is he a 3-4-5 hitter?
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Well, he's DH, right? He's not, I understand Matt Chapman is out right now, but Devers hasn't played the field all year. He has never played first base in his life. I've seen this online. Well, the Giants need a first baseman. They they do need a first baseman, but they didn't get one. He has never played an inning at first base anywhere in his professional career. He needs to DH. He's not a very good third baseman. If he were to just play there a little bit till Chapman returns, it's not the end of the world, but he's not a solution anywhere in the field. He is a high on base guy with power. Ideally, that guy hits second in your lineup or he hits fourth. You want to get this guy as many at-bats as you can. You also want to make sure he's coming up with men on base. Those are probably the two ideal lineup spots for him. He's going to help them wherever he hits, though. At the end of the day, the spot in the lineup doesn't matter. Just let him DH and tell him, just go do exactly what you were doing. He had a 400 on base for the Red Sox. The Jets, probably the Giants' biggest deficiency right now is literally just getting guys on base. He helps with that, and he's also probably going to be their best or second best power threat for the rest of the season.
Talking with Keith Law here on the Morning Roast, MLB insider for The Athletic. The guy's the best in the biz when it comes to all prospects, front office execs, all of it. Keith, real quick, just rewinding here. What did you make of the Giants when they pivoted off of Farhan Zaidi and they made the move to get Buster Posey in that front office and make him president of baseball operations? Were you a fan of that then? And what did you make of this move from his perspective? Because for the longest time, Keith, in this market, Giants fans were frustrated when it came to Farhan. And the constant reports of finishing in second, whether it was for the Sotos of the world or the Shohei Ohtanis or Aaron, don't call them arson judges of the world, right? Like, the people were just losing their minds because it felt like they were constantly in second place under Farhan Zaidi when it came to these big names. And here's Buster Posey, basically like 6 months into the job. Oh, I got Rafael Devers.
So, first of all, I've known Farhan for a long time. I think very highly of him. I was not surprised to see him replaced because they hadn't, outside of the 100-plus win season, they hadn't had success. They had not had sort of, they never won the offseason, so to speak, but also they just didn't win enough games. Ultimately, that is, the proof is in the pudding, right? You got to win games. Even if you make a lot of the right moves, you're going to lose your job as a GM or as a manager if you are not actually having on-field success. And I do think ultimately that was the argument. They just didn't win enough games. Posey, to me, I mean, people are online, they're saying Posey did this, Buster did this, Buster. There's a whole baseball operations department there. I don't think Buster Posey is making any of these decisions unilaterally, and I certainly hope not, because he has no baseball operations experience whatsoever prior to taking this job. Zach Manassian is the GM. He's a longtime baseball guy. He's super bright. He, I'm sure, was heavily involved in formulating this trade, as was the staff below him. This is not something that, nor do you want Buster Posey just sort of barging into the war room like the Kool-Aid guy and saying, hey guys, I just traded for Devers. I just traded four players for Devers and didn't consult anybody in the system. I certainly hope Buster's not running the organization that way. And I, based on the moves, I really don't think that he is.
I find it kind of funny. You don't think Buster, no, like I get you have tremendous respect for some of these front office people, but like Buster's been game planning against specific opponents for over 20 years of his life and has lived, eat, and breathe baseball. Like, he has had a first-hand table. Now, I understand there are many elements to running an organization. I feel like you're kind of selling short his preparation, having done the job on a day-to-day basis for one of the top-notch organizations in baseball for the last 15 years behind the dish. Like, I do think there's a lot of transferable skills and assets he brings to the table that are desperately needed in more front offices.
I totally disagree. Having worked in a front office myself, those are just not the same job at all. Preparing for the tactics in game against specific opponents, against specific players, is not transferable to roster construction, to player development, to amateur, professional, or international scouting, to contract negotiations, to people management. One of the biggest and I think most difficult things about running a front office, whether your title is as a general manager or president of baseball operations, is that you are running a disparate staff of a large number of people, many of whom you will never see because they are spread throughout the country or, in a few cases, spread throughout the world. And so that is an entirely different skill set from managing, quote-unquote, a pitching staff with, by the way, the help of your actual manager and coaches. So to me, I mean, this is the argument teams always make when they take often a former catcher and make him a manager and say, oh, see, you know, he managed a pitching staff. Now he can manage a team. And more often than not, that doesn't work out because it's not the same job. And the skills that may make you good at one of those do not necessarily apply to the other one.
Yeah, man, you seem very emotional regarding this disconnect. I find it interesting because, like, for example, you a couple years ago had Kyle Harrison as the number two overall prospect as a pitcher behind Paul Skeens. And I watched every single start of this guy. And I know Buster did as well. And so I'm just analyzing what I'm seeing. This guy never could command a second pitch and was basically a mid-90s fastball guy. Why was he ranked so high? And why did the minor league success not transfer over to the big leagues?
We haven't pitched that much in the big leagues. I mean, there's kind of an expectation across fandom, across a lot of the industry now, that these top prospects are going to come up and have immediate success, like Skeens did. But Skeens is a real outlier. You look at Jackson Holliday, who was my number one prospect, Pipeline's number one prospect, Baseball America's number one prospect. His first go-round in the majors, he struck out 50% of the time. The gap between the best play in the minors right now in AAA and the typical play in the majors is as large as it's been in my 20-plus year career. And I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. Harrison, his fastball plays, he has a very good changeup. I think you've kind of undersold the changeup. What he does not have is a consistent breaking ball. And if there's a criticism here of the Giants, it's that I don't think they really adequately tried other types of breaking ball with him. He's got, StatCast actually calls it a slurve, which is usually like a derogatory term we use to say it's neither a slider nor a curve, and it doesn't have the good characteristics of either of those. He needs a different breaking ball, and that's going to be a challenge for the Red Sox. It's not like you can just go over to Target and buy a breaking ball. He's got to go find, they're going to have to find a grip and a shape and a release that actually works for his slightly lower slot. What I think worked for him in the minors in his favor, though, because it's a lower slot, it's a little bit of a funky delivery, and he hides the ball a bit. Minor league hitters just couldn't adjust. And major league hitters, particularly left-handed hitters, could, because he had nothing to really spin away from them. They could sit fastball, change up, and know that the ball was not going to, say, end up in the other batter's box. And that's why, if you look in his brief major league time, he didn't get left-handers out that well. And that is the number one thing we expect left-handed pitchers to do. It's why we, I would say, overvalue them in the draft, because you got to get lefties out. And he didn't do that. And that is going to be the separator for him. If he's ever going to become the guy I thought, and I think most of the industry thought he was going to become, he's going to need that third pitch.
Talking with Keith Law here on the Morning Roast with Spadoni and Chasky, MLB insider for The Athletic. The guy knows his stuff when it comes to all these prospects. And asking about another one that the Giants just parted with, James Tibbs, the third, their number one pick last year, drafted 13th overall. Are they going to end up missing this guy, I guess, is the question, because we kind of knew what we had with Kyle Harrison as of late. He struggled. He may end up being a guy, as you've mentioned. He's still so young. Jordan Hicks, he's a tweener. He's not really a starter. He's the bullpen guy. Just, it wasn't working here. And then obviously you can talk about Jose Bayo if you want as well, the 20-year-old international signing they had. But James Tibbs, is this a guy they're going to end up regretting trading potentially, Keith?
I doubt it, because they got Devers, right? If you just put it in the context of this is, yeah, we gave him up to get Rafael Devers. I don't think you're going to end up missing him. I do think Tibbs is going to be a good big leaguer. I don't think he's going to be a star, but I think he can hit. I think there's going to be enough power there. He does show pretty good approach, pretty good command of the strike zone. He's been hitting much better lately after a kind of cold and I think sort of unlucky start, but it's right field or maybe first base. I don't think there's huge upside there. I thought he was a perfectly fine first-round pick, and I don't think in the end that they're going to end up missing him. Or Bayo, who is just kind of an arm-strength guy. He's got to find his second pitch. He is still really raw, a long way away, and he's had some shoulder issues already, so that's why they had to – he's a 20-year-old in the bullpen in the complex league. That guy could end up surfacing as a reliever at some point, but he was clearly fourth out of four in the deal.
Where do you think this trade with Devers leaves their number one prospect right now, Bryce Eldridge? Like, is he still, you know, a first baseman in their eyes / DH? Do you think that they maybe experiment with him in the outfield? Is he trade bait? Do they stick with him? Like, I'm just thinking about all of the ramifications regarding their number one prospect in Bryce Eldridge.
I don't expect them to trade him at all. I mean, I guess maybe if the Dodgers called and said, will you take Shohei Ohtani off our hands, they might maybe consider parting with Eldridge at that point. But I do not. I think they view him as the jewel in their crown. And I think they view him as their first baseman of the future. They have really resisted any suggestion of trying him in the outfield. He hasn't played the outfield since his debut season in 2023. He has not been great defensively at first, and I've seen him a bunch, and he hasn't been as good as I thought he'd be. He's a really good athlete. He moves well. He was a pitcher who had a decent delivery. He also never had breaking ball, coincidentally, but he was up to 95 off the mound when I saw him. So I'm a little surprised he hasn't been a better defender, and I think that may be the thing that slows him down from getting to the majors. He can really hit, though. It's good approach, good swing. Impact for a guy who's 6'7", the swing is pretty short. Scouts I've talked to who've seen him a lot more than I have say they're not worried that he's going to strike out excessively like a lot of the really tall hitters do. I think he debuts this year, like I was saying about all rookies. I wouldn't expect a ton of impact right away, but I do think he's going to be their first baseman for the next 6 years. And, you know, maybe at some point next year, he really becomes a major part of their line.
Hey, Keith, really good stuff here this morning. One more for you on the way out here. Mm-hmm. The Giants now, in this fabric of the NL West, it is probably the most stacked division in baseball. Where would you slot them? Obviously, I'm sure you'll still take the Dodgers, the cream of the crop. But I got to say, I do think the national media is sleeping on this Giants pitching staff, which basically keeps them in every single game outside of Landon Roop on Saturday. Like, Robbie Ray has been incredible. Logan Webb's been incredible. They're going to get Verlander back. Birdsong has been really nice for them early on. Roop, for the most part, outside of last start, has been pretty solid for them. Where do you rank the Giants now with the addition of Devers in regards to the NL West?
Yeah, I don't think they're that far behind the Dodgers. Dodgers, they're not healthy, right? The pitching staff is still kind of a mess. If you look, it's Yamamoto. I think Kershaw's, it's a nice story and everything. It's not going to, like, he's not going to remain an above average starter the rest of the season. I don't think there's a ton of separation here. I think there's more separation now between the Giants and everybody else in the division, right? The Padres kind of played above their heads for a little bit. They're cooling off. The Diamondbacks are just a mess with injuries at this point. I think they've had three Tommy Johns in the last 2 weeks. So I do think the Giants are, they have a real chance to end up passing the Dodgers. They are very much, I would say, a favorite to win at least one of the wild card spots at this point. I would also say I doubt they're done making acquisitions. Probably as they get closer to the trade deadline, they'll reassess and see what else they need to add. I will also just throw in there, too, Birdsong in the rotation. Like, Hicks in the rotation was a mess. I've been saying that forever. I'm obviously not the only one. I think Hayden Birdsong's going to be really good. If I was looking for a sort of sleeper pick to break out for them in the second half, that's my guy.
Hey, Keith, really appreciate the time this morning. Great stuff, and we'll do it again soon, man.
Yep, my pleasure.
There he goes. That is Keith Law, MLB insider for The Athletic, and he appeared on the River Islands guest line, as all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
but not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.